Just like that, the open practices of training camp are over for Ohio State. 3 days, including this one, Saturday, snap judgments for us to evaluate. And then the rest of the month will just be interviews. But we get to see a little bit more of the Buckeyes Saturday morning, another gorgeous morning at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. He is Jeremy Birmingham. I am Austin Ward. I guess these are our final observations of training camp.
It was different, I think, than we anticipated. First day in pads, as we said yesterday and on the radio last night, like, we didn't anticipate that they were going to be in pads on Saturday. They came out that way, and I thought early on the energy here was a little lacking. I don't know if it's the first 2 days, just finally catching up to people. It's a beautiful day for football, so it's not like it was a hot day or anything like that that's causing a little bit of a lack of energy. But it did pick up towards the end of the day as guys got a little bit more physical, saw some one-on-one stuff with the offensive line and defensive line, saw some 11-on-11 stuff, including the full team offense that we assume will be the first team offense except for the quarterbacks, which we're not going to make assumptions on. But we actually saw for the first time the starting entire five offensive line with the starting wide receivers and running backs and tight ends. So it did provide a little bit more today than I think we've got the last two.
And I think today is the perfect reminder about the value of not overreacting, because you can go through my notebook for today. Individual reps right over here on this field to my right, Ethan Onyanwa he's stunning every stunting, stopping. I don't know. He's winning every single rep. Yeah. Let me just go with that. And it's like, well, he looks great. And this is the guy that was promised. And then you got to the end of the day, and you had 11-on-11 and a little bit more full contact work. And Caden Curry and CJ Hicks both sort of easily won some reps and some snaps against him. So, again, that's the way practice works. You don't win every single rep. You don't win every single thing you do, no matter what part of life you're in. So to make any firm, hard and fast decisions about what this team is going to look like based on three practices would be folly. I know that. I think I'll probably leave as we go into the rest of August and just have interview days with the position groups throughout the month. I mean, these will be the lasting impressions, but I'm certainly going to think about the better reps more than some of the inconsistent reps, because I assume with the quality of coaching and the quality of players that Ohio State has here, they're going to work through some of these early growing pains. But there have absolutely been some. I mean, that goes for every single position group.
There hasn't been any group that you look at and be like, that's been totally clean or exactly what you want to see. What you're speaking about with Ethan Onyanwa today is a prime example of that. Like, he had a really good day, but he's going to be remembered because he got put on his back by Caden Curry and CJ Hicks on essentially the exact same speed rush. And we had, I mean, if you go back to, what was it, 2021, Jack Sawyer out here as a freshman against DeJuan Jones, and we're like, oh my gosh, that doesn't look right. Now DeJuan Jones is in the NFL and doing pretty well. Jack's a rookie. So, you know, all these guys are going to continue to take these moments and get better. But the people that are out here, especially the fans, are going to be the ones, I think, that have an opportunity to get more insight into the team than they've had before. Today was a good day for Julian Sain. If we're talking about the quarterback battle, competition, whatever you want to say, I think he was clearly the better overall day between him and Lincoln Kienholz. But, you know, talk to Lincoln for a minute coming off the field, and he said, hey, I'm just going drill by drill. Not everything's going to be perfect. I'm not going to panic about anything. I'm just out here to make sure I'm getting better. And he was the last quarterback out here working. He was getting in extra reps. Like, these kids are all working really hard for the opportunity that they've been waiting their whole life for.
And I can do the exact same thing with the quarterbacks. Yeah. This is the last one that we see as the first padded practice. The, you know, physicality was dialed up a little bit. In a deep ball period, Lincoln Kienholz was, and I bet that there are clips all over social media of it right now, he was not good, and Julian Sain was great. And then they went into the next period. They were doing red zone, 7-on-7, and Lincoln Kienholz was absolutely on fire. And it was touchdown to Brandon Ennis. It was touchdown to everybody.
Quincy Porter
caught one. I think
Philip Bell,
there were four different guys catching touchdowns from Lincoln Kienholz in that period. I wanted to try and get the order right, but I didn't actually bring the notebook out for this episode. I should have, because that would have been more specific. Anyway, the point is, going from one drill to the next, as you said, with Lincoln Kienholz, it's like, well, that was rough, and then a bounce back. And the same thing was true when Julian Sain had a high point, a deep ball to Jeremiah Smith for a touchdown. It's like, okay, well, that's the best throw we've seen in 3 days of camp. And then two plays later, a poor decision, I guess we'd say. I don't know. I can't say that. A throw that the outcome was an interception.
Yeah, this is the life. I mean, this is day three of practice for two guys that have never been the full-time starting quarterback in college football. And so there's going to be these ups and downs. We are really trying not to, like, ride the wave, but I think it is important to be fair in our assessment. And today was a plus one day for Julian if we're keeping track in some sort of way.
Yeah. And we won't be able to do that again.
Yeah.
Which is probably better because now we'll defer to our eyes can play tricks on us because we are not, we don't have Ryan Day's eye for quarterbacks, knowledge of the, plays.
Yeah, exactly.
Not what they're supposed to do, how they're supposed to execute it, what he wants to see, and what he's evaluating. Like, we are standing on the side, standing behind this end zone and getting glimpses of the whole picture. And so if he says that it's going to be back and forth or it's still neck and neck or however he wants to describe it after 1 week, which I bet on Tuesday when we hear from Ryan Day again, that is what he's going to say. That backs up what we've seen through 3 days, but we won't see more, and we're just going to have to use our ears from here on out, and that's totally fine.
Yeah, but day one competition, padded practice, physicality, it's just about guys getting themselves back to where they need to be. We saw the offensive line, which we assume will be one of the strengths of this team, when they went to the 11-on-11 period, really struggling on the interior of the offensive line. Like, the one spot where you think they are going to be the most secure is the interior with Luke Montgomery and Carson Hinsman and Tegra Shibola, and that group struggled pretty bad against the defensive tackle group of Caden Curry. A defensive line group of Caden Curry, Kenyatta Jackson, Caden McDonald, and Tywan Malone, and then Bo Atkinson and C.J. Hicks, and even Zion Grady and Epi Satonale. Like, they all had a pretty good time getting to the backfield. So it was weird. We don't know what they're doing out here, like, when it comes to, like, the play calling and stuff. It seemed like today's focus was behind the line of scrimmage stuff. Tons of screens.
90% behind the line of scrimmage.
Tons of wide receiver screens, tons of tight end screens, a lot of running back stuff. It's very dialed down in order to work on specific things. And so it's hard to make huge assumptions when we can tell. We may not know exactly what they're working on, but it's clear they're working on a very finite group of issues.
Yeah, and it's, to be honest, if we're talking about not just the quarterback battle, but, you know, how is this team going to stretch the field with the wide receivers? Like, they're not really trying to do that a ton. Maybe five opportunities that I can remember that Ohio State tried, and then everything else was a lot of...
And three of them were to Brennan Schramm, I think.
Yeah, different looks at screens and a ton of slants. Focus on the running game as well, the first day in pads, and trying to get some of that established. And a couple looks that I think are maybe more unique to Lincoln Kienholz with RPO-style stuff. I mean, we're not going to dive in or diagram the playbook for anybody or for Texas, because I know that they're watching snap judgments.
Unbelievable, Steve.
But, you know, I do think that there is already at least a sense that, like, the offense would have to look different depending on the way you want to build it. And they're not even going to go so far after 3 days and be like, well, there are things in red zone that you could create a Tate Martell or Devin Brown style package for Lincoln Kienholz. But, you know, I think some of the skill set, even if just evaluating throws down the field, not just because of the drill over here where Julian Sain was much better, I think that pushing the football down the field is probably what separates Julian Sain from Lincoln Kienholz. But there are other parts of the game where you could build an offense or a series or whatever around what he does really well. So,
well, we watched an entire offense a year ago that was struggling to work the ball down the field until November.
Yeah.
So it's not something that is required when you have the number of talents and playmakers Ohio State does close to the line of scrimmage. But certainly we've seen throughout the last 7-8 years, when you have that threat, it changes the entire offense. And so, again, that's another reason why we always go back to, like, it's probably eventually going to be Julian Sain's job. But there is a role for both of these guys. And I don't know which way it flips. I think clearly through every opportunity we had in spring, now the first 3 days here of training camp, like, it seems like it's been flip-flop, flip-flop, flip-snip, snap.
I wouldn't blame anybody. You know, they did that deep ball drill
right
in that corner of the end zone, right in front of the fans. I was watching and I felt the same way. If you were making your choice about who was going to start a quarterback for Ohio State based on that alone, there would be no conversation.
Yeah, it might be Tavian St. Clair.
Well, that's...
if it was on that drill alone, but that's not football.
On air...
Yeah, that's not football.
Tavian St. Clair has probably been the most impressive physically and with the arm strength of any of those quarterbacks so far. But, you know, Julian Sain was really good at that. And I think that I've made this point a ton. If you're talking about the stuff that is naturally throwing the football, delivery, accuracy, he's got everything. That's why he became a five-star, because when you're doing those things, and I'm not saying that there's a drop-off in the arm talent once you go 11-on-11. That's not where I'm going with this. I just, in terms of pure NFL style passing, that was the purest display of it that you're going to see.
Yeah, and that's what the allure is of Julian Sain's potential. And so we'll have a lot more talk about quarterbacks for the next 28 days until leading into the Texas
game. Maybe we'll dial it down because we...
Yeah, hopefully.
We've
seen what we've seen.
I can't help it. I think I've done a better job in watching all the position groups than I have like at any point. But when you have a quarterback battle, your eyes are going to drift there naturally. If it feels like this version of snap judgments is the same as the first couple of days, that's why.
Yeah, well, we can't not talk about it. We can also can't not talk about Edric Houston out here again, moving around a lot better today than he did on Friday, was doing some light leg work today, did not get involved in the 11-on-11 stuff or the physical stuff, tried to get in other drills that he was like, the trainers had to pull him out because he was trying to just sneak some reps in. Think he's going to be fine. I would imagine he's back to practicing by middle of next week based on what we saw today. Nothing else injury-wise that was really noticeable. Caden Curry.
Bionic arm.
Came out with like the huge Jack Sawyer, TJ Watt, JJ Watt arm brace. And he said it's more for like function as opposed to maintenance or prevention of injury.
It looks cool too.
It looks cool, but it also helps him keep the straight arm a little bit when he's trying to get into an offensive lineman who's 6'7", 350 pounds. So,
which he did.
Seemed to work.
And put that person on his back.
Seemed to work.
So, any other position group that you took note of?
I thought it was a much better day for the corners today. Again, maybe it was a little breezy today. Maybe the quarterbacks weren't ready for it. But I thought the corners were regularly in great position. And that's from the top to the bottom. Davis Igbinosin had an interception of Julian Sain in the end zone down there. Or maybe it was Lincoln Sinclair, or Tavian Sinclair. Either way, a pick for him. We saw a really good day out of Miles Lockhart multiple times in the slot and playing outside. So just a lot of guys. Aaron Scott had an interception. Much better day, I think, for the outside corners, really trying to establish that they are not going to be like forgotten or messed around with here just because the receivers get so much love.
Yeah, they do. They were really good. I think you're right about that. I think the safeties, that group is going to be really really good. We saw some of the big nickel stuff that Matt Patricia was alluding to on Friday, again, with Caleb Downs playing that role. It's interesting to think about. I think that reflects confidence in Malik Hartford and Jalen McClain both. Jalen McClain getting an Iron Buckeye Award for his summer workouts and approach to the job. If the next evolution, and you talked about this during the playoff push, like moving Caleb Downs, playing him in the box, using the physicality, if Matt Guerrieri, Matt Patricia, and Tim Walton are already at this spot where like, let's see multiple days of Caleb Downs playing down closer to the line of scrimmage, big athletic nickel. Patrick Chung was the comparison that Matt Patricia used on Friday. I got to tell you, I didn't really think that was going to be the case for this team. And it's 3 days. Today's the first one in pads. They can do whatever they want with Caleb Downs. If that's part of the package for him, that's really interesting to me.
It changes a lot. But, you know, we did see at other times the combination of Lorenzo Styles out there with Malik Hartford and Caleb Downs, or with Jalen McClain and Caleb Downs. So there's a lot of flexibility. I think the interesting thing with the safeties, and I guess we'll see how this unfolds over the next couple of weeks, is if Caleb is in that big nickel role, we've seen Jalen McClain be more of the in-the-box safety and Malik Hartford be more of the deep safety, which
kind of thought it'd be flipped.
I would imagine, I would have thought it would have been flipped based on just their skill sets and their body types. So we'll see if that stays the same. I don't know if that's because they think Jalen is more Caleb-y. And you can do the things that Caleb did last year. So if you put Caleb in Jordan Hancock's spot and you let Jalen play Caleb from a year ago, then you're requiring Malik Hartford to still be Lathan Ransom, which I think is what we all believe.
I think he can probably do that.
Yeah. Is that role. So, but there are other guys. There's, again, I already mentioned Miles Lockhart, but Bryce West had another good day. He was playing some outside stuff today too, which is interesting. Devin Sanchez out there looking the part. It's a really good group. If I have one takeaway from these first 3 days, it's that the concerns I had about the defense, primarily the defensive line, is that the corners and the linebackers are so good and the safeties are so much better than maybe we would have thought based on losing Jordan Hancock and Lathan Ransom.
Yeah.
That the defense looks way ahead of the offense. And I know that's normally the case,
yeah,
but I wouldn't have expected it to be such a gap in 3 days. considering how much the defense is replacing as well.
Yeah, and that's the challenge again when it goes right back to the quarterback competition and the battle and everything else to make a decision there. It's not going to be easy.
No, it's not going to look right until you know who's right.
You're getting some pass rush. You have dynamic linebackers and elite secondary. Like, good luck to you, first-time quarterback, going through this competition and these practices every day, because it's going to be intense and it's not going to be easy. We'll be paying attention to whatever Ryan Day has to say about that. His next comments are coming on Tuesday. This, though, has been it. Ohio State closing down the fan opportunities, which were pretty cool. Big crowd on Saturday morning. Lovely weather for that. And media viewing periods also done for this version of the 2025 training camp. But plenty more interviews coming, so there'll be a lot more snap judgments in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center, but that will be the last time we'll be relying on our eyes. That's what we saw, and those are some snap judgments on the Austin and Burton Show. Thanks for joining us on 10TV, 10TV Plus, 97.1 The Fan, and anywhere that you download podcasts, you can get that audio-only feed delivered straight to you. Set those notifications, like, subscribe, do the whole bit. We appreciate you. He's Berm. I'm Austin. We'll talk to you Monday.